I want to start by talking about the House bill passed by the Senate this week and signed by the president. It addresses a number of things, including paid sick and family leave. But some people have argued that that particular piece of the bill, the leave piece, doesn't cover enough people. Is there any concern on your part about that? Should it have been more comprehensive?
This is not the first bill we passed. The first bill we said this wouldn't be the end of it. We said there'd be more, and we came back like a week later and passed the second piece of legislation. We're coming back on literally within a week and working on, and I expect we'll vote maybe this weekend on the third piece, which is a very large piece. It'll be probably $800 billion, $900 billion. We will have a chance to come back and address some of these unmet needs.
So you're hoping perhaps there might be some more to be done with leave in another bill?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. The size of the bill that we're working on right now is dwarfs the first two, seven or eight, nine times greater than the first two combined.
Yeah, and I know part of that bill, there's been a lot of talk about trying to send direct payments to Americans. In the conversations you're having, is there a sense of just how much these direct payments might be and how many there might be going forward?
The initial discussions that the economists, both Democrat, Republican economists, and members of the Senate, both from the Democratic and Republican Party, are actively exploring and kicking the tires on an idea. Is to do something we actually did about 12 years ago when we had the huge financial crisis in this country. The Treasury, about 12 years ago, sent out checks to most households below a certain income level. And not a great idea, but it took about 3 months to stand it up and do it. It took too long. But belief is that this is something to be done now in a matter of weeks. And what's being suggested is we consider sending out to not every household, but households whose income levels below a certain level. That just for example, each adult in that household would receive $1,000. Each child would receive $500. One of the suggestions that we've had is there's huge pressure on our frontline health care workers right now, not just doctors and nurses and so forth, but a lot of people who support their work and also who work in maybe nursing homes. A lot of pressure on those folks. A lot of them are having to work extraordinary long hours. They have challenges with health care. They live on their own. They have problems with child care for their own children. So the idea might be to plus up. And if there is a check that goes out to many households in the country, that would be plus up, increase somewhat for the folks that are on the front line providing health care protection for whether they have to be 15 years or others.
Relief for small businesses also seems to be a big priority, both at the local level and the federal level. Is there anything you'd like to see in this next bill that would address small businesses, particularly, obviously, you know, the restaurants and movie theaters and bowling alleys that are, at least in this state right now, being told they have to close?
Yeah, Small Business Administration is in a position to help some, not all, small businesses, and we're asking that they examine what their how much money they've been appropriated in this year, how much more they might need to enable them to provide assistance to small businesses. And there'll be other ideas as well. Some larger businesses, airlines, cruise ships, tourist businesses, a lot of some very large industries that are feeling a real pinch right now, are in some cases looking for a large government payment to them. We did something in the financial crisis 12 years ago when we had a lot of banks that were in very bad trouble. We didn't just bail in a week's credit. We didn't just send them a check and say, well, there's a check, and you know, this will help you get through the tough time. What Treasury did 12 years ago is they bought from many major banks their preferred stock. These banks were told issue a special kind of preferred stock. The Treasury will buy it, and over a period of time, the banks had to make dividend payments to the federal government for their preferred stock that had been bought by the federal government. And ultimately, those banks had to buy back the preferred stock. It was a way of making a loan to the banks rather than a bailout. And eventually, as the banks returned to prosperity, they were able to not just paid dividends on their preferred stock that was owned by the Treasury, but to buy back their preferred stock from the Treasury. Ultimately, they all did. an approach like that, I think, makes a lot of sense for large businesses. When it could be airlines, it could be casinos, it could be cruise ships, businesses like that are doing just in a real dire straits right now.
Speaking of those industries, I know there are some, including Senate Minority Leader Schumer, who have suggested if you're going to do these type of bailouts for airlines and such, that there should be some safeguards, that any bailout given is going to help workers specifically and would limit things like executive salary or what the airlines have done recently with stock buybacks. Do you agree with Senator Schumer that there should be some conditions put on this?
Well, the beauty of the approach I just outlined, Tom, I think that's a much better idea than just giving money to large businesses and large corporations. I think that's a sound approach. It worked before. I think I like the idea of find out what works, do more of that. And I think it might well work well again.
Should executive salary and bonuses be a condition on the table as well?
If we're just giving money to these large businesses, large industries, I think it would make more sense to set limits on what they could spend the money on. If basically they're issuing preferred stock, where the Treasury's buying it, and eventually the companies have to buy back their preferred stock and replenish the Treasury, I think it's less important to put restrictions on what the companies do with the money from the Treasury that's used to buy preferred stock from these companies and businesses in distress.
The president has also invoked the Defense Production Act to talk about perhaps addressing things like ventilators that need to be produced and gotten to hospitals. In your opinion, has the federal government been a little too slow in marshaling resources like the Defense Production Act or other things like using the military and FEMA to address certain needs?
What the Defense Production Act, very few people know about it, think about it. But what it does is it gives the president emergency powers, literally, to tell businesses to stop building A and build, because we don't need it, you know, in an emergency, build B. And for example, and let's say they're making a certain kind of face mask or a certain kind of swab or a certain kind of ventilator. The president has, under the Defense Production Act, the authority to go in and say to a business, stop what you're building for now, and we need you to build a ventilator to these specifications, or we need you to build a face mask or swabs or something like that, protective equipment to a different kind of standard. That's in the law, and we have rarely used that power. Presidents rarely use that power, but in this case, he has that authority, and he should use it. I think he's declared the national emergency, which gives him the ability to use the Defense Production Act. He's got to use it, and he's not using it, at least as far as we can tell right now.
And should he even go beyond that? Should he be looking at turning to the military and maybe having FEMA do more in terms of, in particular, I guess, what we hear, surge capacity for hospitals, should they need it?
The National Guard can help them. The National Guard, the Department of Defense, they have swabs spread around the world. They have face masks spread around the world. They have gloves spread around the world. One of the things, if we're smart, is we'll figure out where they have large caches, large gatherings of supplies, and go get them. And we have the planes to fly them wherever they might be needed. The other thing, I don't know if you remember, there's a TV show called MASH long time ago. And it was MASH units, or like medical units, can be sort of like stood up by the Army Corps of Engineers. And if we get into a situation where we need hospital capacity to take care of folks, so see a lot of people with this virus, the National Guard, whether it's Delaware or some other state National Guard, they have the ability to stand up these MASH units, these hospital medical units. And in a matter of not of months, but in a matter of days, maybe weeks. And we have that capability, and we need to use that.
Having said all this, overall, how would you rate the federal response so far? Is the federal government doing enough to support state and local governments that are on the front lines of this?
Yeah, I think right now I'd say we got off to a slow start. The president, when he was first elected and sworn into office, one of the first things his administration did was they disbanded a unit within the federal government that's designed to deal with these kind of pandemics. They literally, I think they laid off several hundred people and said, we're closing this operation. That puts us behind the eight ball to start with. And when the situation erupted, the condition outbreak erupted in China, and later spread to South Korea, started Iran, and these other places, the president initially said it was a hoax. And he said, this is just something that'll go away in a couple of weeks. As it gets warmer, you know, we don't have to worry about this. And we ended up getting a late start, slow start. And now we're trying to catch up. So I think President's leadership is hugely important. It's important for us in the Congress to lead as well, and for us to work together. And so far, if you look what first two packages of assistance and aid have been passed by strong bipartisan margins, and we're working again across the aisle to come up with a much more robust third package. I think we're setting a good example. The president needs to lead, and my hope is that now that he realizes this, it really is a pandemic, and this is not a hoax. It's not something that will fade away in a couple of weeks when it gets warmer. That's a very helpful. We need for him to use his presidential powers under the Defense Production Act to make sure we don't run out of ventilators and swabs and all kinds of face masks and stuff like that. The other thing, we're trying to figure out how do we use existing delivery systems to provide assistance to people. For example, the unemployment insurance fund, every state has one, created by a contribution from employers in better times, better economic times, and they've been built up. They're going to be running low, and a lot of people are counting on an unemployment check will provide about 40% of what their normal paycheck would be. It's not huge, but it's something. And as states run out of money, the federal government needs to do a backstop and be there to help out. We're doing that. A lot of people, about 25% of people in the country who get health care get it through Medicaid. And we want to make sure that states' budgets are going to be sorely tested by more people unemployed going on Medicaid, that the federal government continues to ramp up its contributions to help provide health care, access to health care people. Because the last thing we need is for people who lose their jobs who don't have health care, and they get sick, and then they don't have anywhere to turn to. We want to make sure that they get the treatment they need. Otherwise, this pandemic will just get worse and worse and worse.
Finally, you mentioned the president's leadership. I do want to ask you, the president has taken to calling the novel coronavirus the Chinese virus. Do you feel that's an appropriate thing for him to do?
Actually, this is a virus that threatens the world. And it's, it may have started in one country, could it just as easily have started in this country. But I think the key here, presidents, leaders ought to unite, not divide. We should build bridges, not walls. And in this case, with the problem in the virus is who is my neighbor? And our neighbor is anybody that's in need. The Chinese are in need, the folks in South Korea are in need, other Italians are in need, and we have a moral obligation to help them, and they have an obligation to help us, and we're trying to learn, especially from countries like China and South Korea, about the research they've done into vaccines, about the research they've done into medical treatments to help reduce the likelihood this disease is going to affect. This virus is going to continue to spread. So I don't think we do ourselves any favors in saying this is a Chinese virus. It's a virus. It's a pandemic, and it's real. And we need to move on it. A lot of folks are healthcare providers, not just doctors and nurses, but a lot of people are working in nursing homes to care for folks, and a lot of them like our grandparents, and to help make sure that they have what they need and are safe and cared for.